Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is LaDonna Evans Duhart, and in this show, we are going to discuss whether or not the enterprise is ready for biometric technologies. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the question and comment box below. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Again, this radio show is going to cover some of the basics of biometrics, as well as evaluating whether or not industry is really ready for biometrics. One thing I usually like to start out with is the basics of biometrics. When you consider the fact that biometrics is a technology whereby end users are going to be authenticated by the use of evaluating some sort of body part, such as a fingerprint, the evaluation of an iris, even utilizing sounds coming from your mouth and signature, your ability to be able to sign on a pad to determine the legitimacy of who you are. We need to also take into consideration the fact that some level of verification, some detailed verification, is going to be required in order for a system to determine whether or not you are to gain access to a network resource. Something that needs to be considered is also the basics of false acceptance rate. And a false acceptance rate is nothing more than the rate in which a person is accepted or allowed to gain access to something when they should have actually been rejected. And then we have the opposite of that, which is called the false rejection rate. This is the rate in which a person is actually rejected from gaining access to a resource when they should have been accepted, accepted or allowed access to the content within a resource or access to a door. So again, we could take this whole level of acceptance and authentication and look at what would it take for me to, provide a fingerprint or to fully say my name, clearly say my name, so that I can allow access or entry into a physical site, or to be allowed access into, a folder, a set of folders on a particular server. So again, we can take the authentication and allow it to permit access to many, many different resources. Okay. As far as the different types of methods of biometrics are concerned, we have the common fingerprint recognition, iris recognition, voice recognition is becoming more and more popular, as well as signature recognition. So we have many different ways, and those just include a few, to recognize a person or verify whether or not they are who they, really are trying to identify themselves as, and from there determine whether or not access will actually be allowed or not. When we consider some of the best practices for biometrics, one area that is really of concern is, your end users, your people who in your security department. They are really raising the hair of, offering some level of education to the end user. Because now you have employees who are being set to a certain level of a standard to be responsible and to be liable for what they do. So now you are taking it to the next step by offering biometric security, and from there, now you are making this person, one, liable for their actions when they manipulate systems and data, and now you actually have, copies of their fingerprint. You have a copy or image of their iris. You have voice recordings. You have the ability to have their signature. So again, when you consider that this employee is going to be concerned with the fact that you have some of the personal characteristics that are very, very accurate about them, and if this information were to get out, could have them in a really bad situation. As far as best practices are concerned, we need to look at, where are the best places to actually have biometrics used? Typically, you're going to find, biometrics being used in areas where there's no security guard or there's no camera, or you may have a camera and you want that added level of, multi-level authentication. So again, you want to be able to identify someone and just add that extra, level of secondary authentication. But again, typically you find this in areas where you can't, you know, have a person, or there's no security in place, or no secondary level of security in place. So you offer some way to authenticate people or identify people. Okay. One of the next concerns is the fact that since biometrics is not 100% or not as accurate as other methods of authentication, we want to consider, from an IT standpoint, how many times do I allow this person to log in? How many times do I allow this person to attempt to, you know, swipe their fingerprints over a reader? How many times do I allow their eye to be scanned before one, you know, is not healthy, or before a user is just completely disgusted and walks away? So again, you need to recognize that. How many times is a person going to be even willing to sit there and keep signing their name before the system, you know, gives them a result or continuously makes them retry? So again, that needs to be considered. And again, that's the best practice, to take that into consideration during the design phase of delivering this type of system. And again, one additional best practice is, you know, once you do deliver biometrics, and not even just biometric, but anytime you deliver a system, okay, particularly from the standpoint of biometrics, there's a lot involved here because it's not 100%. You need to document what needed to be done, what were the rates in acceptance and failures before a person was just tired and didn't want to, you know, continue on. And at what point do you determine that this is a hardware issue and not a, you know, an end user issue? At what point do you determine whether or not a person needs to be locked out? How many times are you going to allow them to do a fingerprint reading before you recognize that this is really, you know, somebody who is really trying to break in? So again, all of that needs to be documented in a security control document and or procedural documents, so that you can put that in your plan, and at the point that something goes wrong or there's some type of incident, you know how to handle a situation based on a certain amount of criteria. Okay. Some known facts. What do we know about biometrics? We know it's this super cool technology out here that you saw the last, you know, movie theater. You saw a sci-fi flick, and you saw James Bond, you know, running his tie across a reader, you know, because he only has a specific type of tie. But, you know, again, you have this illusion that, you know, Hollywood is presenting the latest and greatest. But in all actuality, you have a lot of organizations that are offering biometric technology. It is out here. It is so real. So again, we need to look at what is it going to actually take for us to implement this. This is not a sci-fi kind of, you know, technology or something you only see in science fiction movies. This is something that is here and it is right now. And even though it is super cool, it's taking a lot of work. Again, in order for you to get to that point of saying, oh my gosh, this is a super cool tool, we need to go through the heartache of, you know, what is it going to take to deliver this? Because it is not the easiest process. And then from there, document it and make sure that, you know, you educate your end users and educate folks so they know how to deliver this technology. Again, I've been stressing that biometrics is not 100%. So again, we need to look at all of what is required in order for us to deliver this and have people feel comfortable, particularly from the end user standpoint, as well as from the standpoint of, you know, the administrator that is showing users how to use this technology, training users on how to deal with, you know, idiosyncrasies in the event that they run into those. So again, a lot is needed with that. And at the rate that we have so many people who are out here trying to work against the grain of what we do every day to keep everybody secure, we need to make sure that we understand that identity duplications are on the rise. We hear situations out here where, you know, I can go out and get somebody's social security number and then go apply for a credit card, and someone has taken your picture or gotten your ID or whatever, and then had taken your picture and generated an ID or a driver's license. And from there, they're going around with you know, pictures of themselves with your identification or the information about where you live. And from there, they're going out buying boats and cars. So again, while everything like this is on the rise, we need to be more proactive in what it need in what we need to do as a consumer to protect ourselves, and as a business in order to help our consumers so that we can, you know, be productive in industry. And despite all the concerns out there, we need to really realize that biometrics is here, and it's here to stay. It's not going to go away. I mean, even though there's that gigantic learning curve there, once you get over that learning curve, this is a very, very set of powerful tools. There's a lot that you can do with it. I mean, I realize that you have a group of people or a group of those that are going to feel like, well, wow, you're going to have my fingerprint, or you're going to have my signature. And you can just imagine what a person can do with a fingerprint. You can imagine what I can do with a signature. I mean, a person can take a signature and simply save it in a file and plaster it on a copy of a check that appears to be pre-signed and go from there. So again, there is a lot that can be done with the wrong information as long as it's put in the hands of the wrong people. Okay? Organizations need to be concerned with, you know, how do we back this information up? You know, the wrong tape got in the wrong hands, we would be in a world of trouble. So again, this places an organization in a really, really critical situation, because now the company is liable. They are completely liable because they have information that can be duplicated and can be used to do some very, very treacherous things. So again, we need to take that all into consideration. So now, with knowing that, when you consider the fact of the industry, the typical organization, you know, a smaller mom and pop shop, do you think that they may be ready for biometrics? For the most part, the expense is out there, so maybe a small company might not be ready for this. Maybe your medium-sized to larger enterprise organizations are those that are ready for it. But again, you know, it's just based on what you want to, you know, where you want to go, how much money you want to spend. If this is the technology that you want to use, I mean, go for it. It's out there. It's not like we have to purchase it from another country or anything like that. The equipment is super, super available. So again, we need to look at, one, is the enterprise ready for this? Okay. I was saying that if an organization has life cycle processes in place to really look at the impact, to really look at any kind of vulnerabilities, to really play a proactive role in the area of security, I would say yes. I think the enterprise is ready for it. But again, not every enterprise is at that point. You know, you have some companies who are in situations where, you know, we're still trying to get them to get on the bandwagon of creating a business continuity plan. We still, you know, have those companies out there that are trying to, you know, pull together a disaster recovery plan. You can't pull the right people together to, you know, pull this type of plan together. I mean, I guess people don't realize that that business continuity plan is only a plan to help you recover, you know, to an operational state in the event that you are no longer operational. That disaster recovery plan is only a plan that allows you to bring your IT operations back up in a functional, back up to a functional state when you go down. So again, I don't know if people are thinking that maybe this is something that's supposed to be for somebody else and that they are completely susceptible or not susceptible to, you know, being placed in that situation. I think an excellent example was Katrina. What did companies do? What was the rate of the number of companies that were ready for this type of transition? When we look at 9/11, was there anybody who was not prone to that scenario? So again, it was one thing for it to happen. And we know that, you know, nobody was really aware that it was about to happen at any point in time, but it was just the after effects. Who was ready to deal with what do we do next? Okay, this has occurred. Where do we go next? So again, when you consider the fact that some companies are right out there and they are really ready, understanding that everybody is going to respond very differently from, you know, another person or another organization. But I would say for those who have policies and plans and documents in place to try and pull together the toughest situations and even those processes together to pull together the smallest little implementation, those are the organizations that are ready. Those are the ones that are going to protect themselves. Those are the organizations and enterprises that are going to protect the employees, because people are really questioning. You will have fingerprint information. You will have my iris. You will have an image or audio of my voice. You're going to have signatures of me, and anybody can take that information and go and do something else with it. So again, these are all the things that need to be taken into consideration to determine if your enterprise is ready, to consider if your, you know, small company is ready. It's not just the big companies. Again, whoever wants to make that type of investment, it is out there for you to make. So again, if you have your ducks in a row and you have processes for dealing with implementing security into the whole life cycle of a project, then you probably are ready. So again, take all of that into consideration, and I hope that you enjoy today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments for me, please let me know. Please let please click the question and comment box below. If you are interested in viewing any of my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio archive for LaDonna Evans Duhart. If there is a show that you'd like me to do, please send it to me via email and just let me know. I'm really open to doing other courses. Thank you for your time today, and remember to tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively at GoGo.com. You have a great day.